and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I'm coming to you from the other side of having a one-year-old. Yes, it was Pearl's first birthday since we last spoke. It was absolutely mind-melding. I can't believe it happened. She had her own little baby cake. We celebrated twice. We had one celebration at home where basically we just... Okay, obviously, you know my mom if you listen to this podcast. My mom, like 6 months ago, gave me this tutu and like this first birthday hat, which I was like, this is the most hideous thing I've ever seen. I hate that this is in my house. And then, of course, I ended up using it and it made for incredible photos because my mom is always right, as much as I hate to say that. And when she texts me that I said that on this podcast, I will ignore it. But anyway, we put Pearl in her little outfit. We gave her a little baby-friendly cake that my friend Jordan made. It was like coconut flour and dates and Greek yogurt frosting and, the sidebar, absolutely delicious. We had leftovers and Ben and I both ate them more than we would ever eat regular cake because it was so good. It was like a delicious banana muffin. Anyway, that was incredible. But then we had Pearl's first birthday party over the weekend. It was just a little affair with some friends, family. Basically, the excuse was so that we could all go eat pizza at this place we really like in Glendale called Aziza Pizza. We went there, had a pizza party, had, again, wonderful cake from this place called Flowering LA. I think this was called Flowering. Flowering spelled like the baking ingredient, not the things that make your allergies bad. Why is that the only way I can describe flowers? Anyway, the cake was also exceptional. I put some of it in the freezer, which I hope I can eat like my Gideon's cookies leftovers. Just like, you know, like I have a little bite whenever I'd like. And Pearl was absolutely freaked out by so many people there, but it ended up okay. She freaked out a little at first. She was a little like, why are there so many people taking pictures of me? And then it was totally fine from there. But most importantly, I'm telling you this because I have heard that kids these days, we're talking like 20-somethings, are obsessed with old point-and-shoot digital cameras. I forget where the article I was reading came from. Maybe it was like Bloomberg or something like that. But apparently, kids are spending so much money on old digital cameras, like the type that if you're my age, you use to take like point-and-shoot photos of when you got your first or second digital camera when you were maybe in high school or college, and you would like take photos of the night and then put them on Facebook and albums because that's what we did. I am dating myself. But anyway, those type of cameras are apparently huge again. And I was kind of like, what's the point? Like, you know, I know that it looks a little more real. There's like an effect to it. The photos are higher quality, but also not that clean, sharp design that we have from cell phone photos these days. And then my friend Greg, my friend Amy's boyfriend Greg, made a little video from the party on some old 90s point and shoot camera he had. And it looks like the way it looks is it's like choppy and it's kind of dark and it looks like a VHS camcorder, the big old thing that dads used to carry on their shoulder. You know what I mean? That big old thing. It looks like that from my own first birthday and I am obsessed with it. I will be buying this camera. I will be hopefully taking like silly little Disney Parks videos on this. I love it so much. It looks so retro without looking too fake retro. It's wonderful. I understand why everyone likes these cameras now and I will be getting one because of Pearly Girly's birthday. And from one mother to another, I need to include a very special shout out in this episode to Genevieve and Genevieve's child, Travis. Hello, Travis. I met Genevieve last week when I was in Disneyland. We talked about how great you are. We talked about how you both listened to the podcast together, which I'm so honored about. And I promised that I would shout you out and I'm doing that now. So Genevieve, so lovely to meet you. So lovely to chat with you. And Travis, I hope I get to meet you sometime too. You've got a very cool mom. And I just want to make sure I include that. Now, I'm not going to tell you more about her birthday or how much she's enjoying her tiny little gifts. She got like blocks and things and she loves them. It's very fun. She got a xylophone from Brandon, who comes up in this episode. Hi, Brandon. She loves that. She loves, she hasn't played with some of the other gifts yet. All of it is very exciting, but as like everything they tell you about kids is true. They will drain your bank account for berries. Kids love berries. Oh my gosh, that was not a joke. You will never sleep in again. Also true. And she loves packaging as much as she loves the actual gift. But all of that aside, the reason I'm talking about Pearl's birthday is because immediately after Pearl's birthday, I rushed home and I changed and I went to the Thea Awards, an award show for folks like us about theme park things, which we are going to get into this week. Stick around after the break because we have so many fun stories, not really secrets, but stories and shenanigans to discuss. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince. But no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, you kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid 3 times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these 3 times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey, and here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome back. Today, we are talking about the THEAs, the Oscars of themed entertainment, if you will, which I thought was a funny thing for me to say, and it ends up that's what they call it too, because that's kind of what it is. It is the Oscars for themed entertainment in more ways than you would expect, and we will get into that later today. Just keep that in your head. Just keep that in your head that that's where this is going. Now, I attended this and I really had no idea what to expect, because in a way I was attending a corporate event. In a way it was kind of like a business meeting, but it was also a theme park prom. It was also an award show. It was also the most glamorous night of the year for anyone who was involved in this industry. But either way, it was an absolute delight to attend and to virtually, I guess, auditorily take you along with me, which I cannot wait to do on this week's episode. The THEA Awards, to give you a little bit of background, are presented by TIA, the Themed Entertainment Association. TIA essentially is an organization that brings together, in their words, the world's leading creators, developers, designers, and producers of compelling places and experiences. No, I'm just going to edit that right there. They should say places and spaces, because wouldn't that sound way better? Bring together the world's leading creators of compelling places and spaces. Listen, I'm just out here editing for free. It's totally fine. I guess experiences is more accurate, but still places and spaces sounds better. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So they have these multi-day events with different forums and panels and discussions and things that are great for folks in the biz. But I decided I was just going to attend the big show, the 30th annual THEA Awards Gala. Yes, the organization is named TIA, T-E-A, but pronounced like Tia and Tamara Mowry. And the awards are the THEAs, T-H-E-A. But really, all you need to know is that it's a great award show, and it is a snazzy looking trophy with this emblematic goddess holding a globe over her head on them. They're kind of like crystal cut with a base that has your name and the information on it. They're really nice, and they had these like plexiglass versions on all the tables at the event. It was a nice looking award, and I don't say that for everyone, because I think the Oscars are kind of like the only good looking award, but this one was pretty beautiful. And if you are involved in any of these projects that are award winners, if you participated, you can buy a trophy. You can get a trophy, which is great because I won an editorial award once and I was so excited to get this big deal trophy. And I reached out to my editor and she's like, oh no, there's literally one and I don't even get one. So this is really nice that they do this for people. And I know that because I looked it up and I looked up the price. And anyone who's participated who can buy one only has to spend $300. That's a steal for a trophy like this, a crystal, beautiful trophy with this glamorous woman on it. Fantastic. I'm pretty into that. I'm like, that's a nice price so that everyone can have their little awards in the background of their Zooms if they'd like. Anyway, I have known about the Theas for years, but have never really made it to the show until this year when my friend Brandon, who co-hosts a podcast with Alicia Stella, I'll put a link in the bio of this episode, was attending for that podcast and encouraged me to come along. And I am so grateful that Brandon did this because it was so much fun to be immersed in this business gala end of the industry that I'm so familiar with. Because the thing is, once these attractions open, I'm so deeply on the guest-facing side of things, you know, breaking down when it opens, every detail you need to know for going on a ride, the process, if there's a virtual queue, all the way towards when things open later, the Genie Plus of it all, the individual lightning lanes, actually getting on the ride, planning your vacation around it, all of those nitty-gritty details. That's really what I focus on, that guest-facing stuff. So I kind of forgot that on this end, all of this exists. The overlap and cross-section of different specialties and honoring places that I don't cover that I would never know about, which are pretty fantastic and which I will share with you here today. But to be among the vendors and creators and like service award recipients who are some of the best in the world at lighting design, apparently. Very cool. And how they educate each other about their different disciplines and make sure that new people are coming into the fold. It was really cool. It was more niche than even anything I do. And I'm already pretty niche. So it was very, very interesting. 30 years ago, TIA created this award program so that, in their words, they could recognize achievement, talent, and personal excellence in themed entertainment. And voila, 30 years ago, the TIA Awards were born. The TIA Awards are a millennial. I did not know that until now. The TIA Awards, a millennial. And this past Saturday night, moments after a small birthday party for my one-year-old, my baby's first anniversary, you might say, I drove to the heart of Hollywood to see just what an award show for theme parks even looks like. And let me tell you, it was elegant. It was like very elegant. The dress code was black tie. And since it's a work function for everyone in attendance, I thought it would kind of be like, you know, when you go to a wedding and there's a formal dress code and nobody follows it, everyone's just wearing sundresses and sandals. That was not this. There were looks. People were wearing tuxes and suits. People looked fantastic. There were beautiful gowns. And it was just kind of like a fun, it was fun to be like, oh, we're at a fancy event. And I'm glad that I showed up in what I call Frontierland formal for it. Frontierland formal is what, you may ask? Oh, it's just a powder blue bridesmaid dress I bought when I worked at a vintage store about 15 years ago. I bought it and I was like, maybe I'll go to an opening night of Oklahoma on Broadway one day, or I'll go back in time and need to be somebody's best friend up at an altar. Either way, I had this dress and I don't even think, I wore it to one wedding maybe like 10 or 11 years ago. There was a stretch when I went to 8 or 9 weddings a year. Everyone got married. I don't know why they all got married at the same time. And I don't like spending thousands of dollars on gowns because that's how much gowns cost. It's pretty wild. Like before we had fast fashion, which is bad, but before we had all those options for going online and finding a dress, you like went to Macy's or you had nothing. I sound 1,000 years old, but I promise that's what it was. And so I had all these silly, goofy, long vintage dresses that if you do your hair right, if you wear a heel, they're kind of formal. But when I was getting dressed very quickly for this event, I thought, you know what? Today's the day. Tonight's the night. I'm going to wear my blue ruffled Frontierland formal dress. And I did. And it was perfect. It was the perfect dress for this event. And I had so much fun swishing around in it. Anyway, so the TIA Awards are located at the Dolby Ballroom. So usually I'd be like, maybe I don't have to dress up that much. The Dolby Ballroom is a new to me venue, but what is not new to me is that it is above where the Oscars are located. We were basically like in the heavens above the Oscars. We were right there in downtown Hollywood. And I know Hollywood is like, when you live here, you're like, blah, blah, Hollywood, gross, blah. But like, I'm sorry, Hollywood still has some panache because that's where the Oscars happen. And we were literally where the Oscars happen, but just upstairs. Like in the rafters of it. I mean, it was a full ballroom, but you know what I mean. And I'm sorry, I know that I live in LA, but that's still very exciting to me. It's still very exciting. And it's chic. I'm sorry, it's chic. It's chic. It's chic. It's fancy. And I loved it. The Theas are not usually here, by the way. They're not usually in Hollywood. In past years, I don't know for how many years, but for many years, they had been held in Anaheim at the Disneyland Hotel. So this, as an outsider who hadn't been before, this was a really fun shift. The weather was beautiful. There was a gorgeous sunset happening outside. It was just a really, really lovely evening. And the production of the event, there's no need to doubt anything. These are professional themed entertainment people. So it was a beautiful stage, a beautiful setup, and a really nice time. Like the tables were lovely. It was really lovely. If it was a wedding, I'd come home being like, that was a good wedding. But who cares about decor? Because we are going to talk about the event. So once I arrived, there was this activation where during the cocktail hour, I guess you'd call it, during the arrival time, people were walking around and they were encouraging you to give the person you were talking to or people you know, give them an award on the spot. They were called, let me see, I have it here, Theets. Theets. This, and it says, this very prestigious award is being presented to, and then they write down your name, and then it says, for, and then they write down the award that you deserve. And I won a Theet for being the best dressed mother by Brandon, which I was very honored by. But they take this little Polaroid of you and they basically foist a bouquet of roses in your hands. They put a crown on you and then they hold up a frame and they take a Polaroid of you and you get this little sheet of paper with this little Polaroid photo of you winning an award. And I gotta say, the Polaroid is the most flattering photo of me that's ever been taken in my whole life. I don't know why. I'm looking at it right now and I'm like, I maybe it was the glow of finally winning an award because I don't think I've ever, well, I've won that one editorial one, but I've never been like, you know, I wasn't like most likely to anything. I went to a huge high school. I'm nothing. And so it was really nice. It was really, I don't know. It's a really nice one. I'm going to keep the photo. I'm not going to lie. The photo's really nice. So it's this cute activation they did. You got to kind of like honor people around you. I gave Brandon, I think it was Outstanding Achievement in Friendship. I think I gave Brandon. Anyway. It was a really nice thing that they did to kind of break up the, the awkward business cocktail hour of it all. So while we were there, everyone's milling about. And I thought it would be super Disney heavy or extremely Universal heavy. I thought it would be just all Disney people and then maybe a few people from a theme park in Germany or something like that. But it was actually very cool and a wider spread. Like this isn't a theme park stronghold. And it really reminded me that there are so many attractions globally that have so much importance and so much relevance. And a lot of them were highlighted as part of the award show, which I thought was fantastic. In fact, I believe in the document that there's like a booklet they put at your seat. I believe that booklet said 80% of award winners were from outside of America, which is pretty fly. And we will get into that later when we talk about who won. After grabbing my seat at the media table, which was in the back, baby, the last table in the back, my mom was like, what was the show? Why couldn't I watch it on TV? And I was like, I think they streamed it. My mom is in town. And I was like, I think they streamed it online. She's like, oh, I would have watched the entire 3-hour show just to try to get a glimpse of you. Because my mom is very sweet and loves me very much. But also she was not going to see me because I was in the shadows. I was fully in the shadows as we belong because we're not involved. We're just media. Anyway. After we like found our seats and stuff, I headed to the bar. I walked around with Brandon to schmooze a little and I ran into Shelby Honey of Universal Creative and a 2-time podcast guest. If you remember, Shelby came on recently to tell us about the pure joys of Gatorland and earlier for one of her favorite projects of mine, Velocicoaster. And Shelby, if you're listening to this, which I'm pretty sure you are, I don't know if I told you that night, your purple eyeshadow was so cool on you. I have a purple eyeshadow lying around and I don't use it. And I'm going to start using it because of you. You have inspired me and you looked fantastic. And I'm going to see you by the time this episode comes out. But still, it was great to see you that night. The evening began with a buffet style dinner and the food was so good. The food was so good in a way where I couldn't believe how good it is. There's rarely a time in my life where I take a plate and go up to a buffet and like scoop some chicken on a plate and walk away and I'm like, wow, that's one of the best meals I've had in recent memory. But for some reason, it was that good. And I'm inferring that this certain thing was this way, which I'm about to talk about, but I'm inferring that it's because, so the biggest award winner of the night and the presenting sponsor, which I don't know if that's a conflict. I don't know if it's a chicken and egg thing. Like, was the person the biggest award winner of the night and then they sponsored it? Were they the sponsor? And so then they got the title. I honestly don't know. above my pay grade, but I don't know how award shows work. But the honored recipient of the night was this creator of this massive Chinese theme park, which we will get into, like massive. But I think because of that, there was a second buffet of delicious Chinese food that I ate two whole plates of. They had Szechuan green bean salad with fried tofu, vegetable fried rice, but like this gigantic wok of really good vegetable fried rice. And then these huge woks of stir-fried Hunan eggplant and sesame chicken. And I think the event was catered by Wolfgang Puck. So I don't know, is Wolfgang Puck very good at making Chinese food? Either way, it was wonderful and fresh and delicious. And they had so much good food. I can't believe they had so much good food. We were given like a psst, heads up, load up on food warning because the show can be lengthy. So I went for it. I ate an embarrassing amount of food. I sat with Brandon. I sat with Todd Martins, my friend and colleague from the LA Times. And we just scarfed down a bunch of food because while we were eating, we soon realized that the shenanigans of the evening were about to begin. And I will tell you more about those shenanigans after this break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So when I promise you shenanigans, I mean there were some shenanigans, because it was about this time when we're seated, enjoying our meal, having a gas, having a laugh, having a great time, when the rumor began. What rumor, of course? That a theme park impresario was present. I'm talking a celebrity, a real celebrity. And while a Joe Rohde sighting or a Scott Trowbridge hello would have been a fun spotting and a nice cocktail hour chit-chat moment, no, no, my friends. This was perhaps the most famous theme park celebrity in the world, in the same space above the Oscars, that was supposedly there that night, right there, in the same white curtain-draped room as the rest of us Earthlings. And that person, who could fill that tall order, who could fill those shoes, was none other than Steven Spielberg. Yes, the best part of the E.T. ride. I will not take that back. The best part is the pre-show because I love that ride so much, but that sells it. You need the video to make the ride happen. Steven Spielberg, star of the E.T. pre-show at Universal Studios Florida. And a huge participant in Universal Creative. Steven Spielberg was, supposedly there. The second I heard this, I tried to focus on my Hunan eggplant. My extremely good chicken, and just simply couldn't function. Before this, we were talking about there was this vegan sign by the chicken. We were like, this chicken's not vegan. Maybe it's so good that it is. We couldn't tell. That went out the window the second we heard Steven Spielberg was there, because I tried to eat, I tried to focus, and I simply could not do it because I decided I needed to see a sneak peek of Steven Spielberg, assuming he was there to present or give someone an award or go on stage to introduce something. I had to know more. So I hustle Brandon up and out with me, and we start poking around. We start walking. We start doing some laps. We start just peering at the other tables while everyone's dining, just trying to find Stevie Spielberg. And we run into a publicist who I knew but hadn't met in person. And we're talking, and then we see Todd walks up. So we wrangle everyone together, and we're like, we hear Steven Spielberg is here. Have you seen Steven Spielberg? And there was someone at a table who were like, I'm pretty sure that is Steven Spielberg. But he was sitting in a table to the back by the bar, the furthest from the stage in the back. And we thought Steven Spielberg would be sitting front and center. Like when you have an A-list celebrity that, Oscars rules, the closer they are to the stage, the bigger celebrity they are, the more important they are. And so we were like, is that Steven Spielberg sitting at this table of people? Maybe they just invited him and had a chair for him. We don't know. And so this publicist runs over. I don't want to mention their name because I don't want to incriminate them. Runs over to the bar, sees someone they know, talks to them, goes, barely said something like, hey, I just need to pretend to talk to you because I need to see if that's Steven Spielberg or not. Comes back and says, it is not, in fact, Steven Spielberg, but it is another themed entertainment professional who looks exactly like Steven Spielberg. And so Brandon and I giggle, we all giggle about it. We're like, wow, that person really does look like Spielberg. We do another lap. We don't see him. We figure, that's it. He's not here. And we go back to our table. We were a little disappointed, but it was okay. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because it will come up. It will come up again. It will come. This is not the end of the Steven Spielberg saga. Now, all of this is happening as there is like a 12-piece band, I think, coming out on stage. There was a full performance element to this show. They played music. They played live intros. It was really incredible. And I left before this, but apparently there was an after party with live karaoke. I just think it's very nice that the people who toil day in and day out, taking Zooms, taking calls, putting in the work to make sure that when we travel places and we enjoy our leisure time, it's great and it's grand. Those people have their own little like let loose party at the end of winning their awards for their good work. I think it's very nice. And I think they deserve it. It's very, very well deserved. And then the show begins. And it being the 30th year, they show some footage from the first award show at Beverly Hills Hotel, which is very posh that the first one was held there. They throw back to some past award winners. And then a three-hour bonanza honoring the best in themed entertainment design kicks off. And generally, the structure of this award show revolves around honoring all different kinds of experiences and attractions with sizzle reels or like fancy little videos of stuff you're familiar with, but also stuff, if you're me, have never seen before and are like, wait, why is this so cool? Why did I not know about this? And why am I finding out about this the moment it earns an award? Because what's so fascinating about the Thea Awards is that they range from like outstanding achievements by smaller exhibits to large attractions on a global scale. Some award winners I obviously knew about, like Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. They deserved that award. That coaster is incredible. But there were even some I knew about that I was not expecting to be there. The award for Outstanding Retail Experience Limited Budget went to Disney Encanto by Camp, which, as you remember, we did an entire podcast about. Kirk Larson, our guest on that episode, was on stage accepting the award. It was one of a few very amusing overlaps, which were a nice surprise. Wyatt Winter, who came on here to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, was up there accepting the award. Shelby, who I mentioned. Even Luke Mayrand, who I finally met in person that night and had a funny moment with, because we talked about how I knew he'd been on my podcast and he knew he'd been on my podcast, but we couldn't figure out what it was for. We like for the life of us stood there being like, what episode was that? And it ends up, it was Behind the Attraction, of course. And what a fun episode that was to talk about Shanghai. I also still recommend that episode and recommend Behind the Attraction, a wonderful series on Disney Plus. So go check both of those out if you haven't already. Now, one award winner at the show will very likely be coming here very, very soon. Watch this space. And that one was Etrenaline. If you haven't heard about this, boy, I cannot wait to bring you that episode. It's essentially what happens if you mix immersive design, a theme park dark ride, and a high-end dining experience. It's the type of blue sky idea that you would never expect would actually come to fruition. And it has, and it is so cool. It was supposed to be part of this episode, but with everything leading up to this past week, with the event and the time change between here and Germany, we figured it was better to tackle it on its own in the future and not plop it into this episode. So keep an eye out for that one, because I genuinely cannot wait to talk to their creative team. There were a lot of new-to-me projects that were award recipients that I found myself very interested in. One, Aura, the Forest at the Edge of the Sky, won Outstanding Achievement Immersive Mall Experience, and it brings nature indoors into this Chinese shopping complex with 12,000 individually controllable LED lights and tunnels of light and design and installations intertwined with walkways and escalators, or as I like to call it, a beautiful free show while you're shopping. The mall looked incredible too. A really cool kind of display that I hope we get more of stateside. Like, I would love this inventive layer of appealing whimsy within the spaces we visit every day, because how nice would that be? It would just be so nice. It would be so nice. And it's no casual, like, random mall installation, like when they put a big old Christmas tree in the middle and they decorate things for holidays. No, this was done by Weta Workshop, the famed New Zealand special effects house who worked on Lord of the Rings, among other films and series. I also learned about this other cool one called Peaky Blinders The Rise, a tourist attraction in the UK that I think has since closed, but was an immersive theater experience that places you in the 1920s in London by way of a company called Immersive Everywhere. It obviously ties into the show Peaky Blinders, but These immersive everywhere guys seem to be the go-to group for these kinds of activations. I've looked around because I want to know more about this, and it seems like filming really wasn't allowed in there, so I've only really seen promotional videos that they put out and listened to some recaps and reviews. But I'm really hoping I hit one of these shows one day, because it kind of looks like, if I had to guess, Sleep No More with a theme to The Great Gatsby or Doctor Who, or which they've also done in addition to this one, which is Peaky Blinders. And it just seems like they are doing immersive entertainment the right way. We enjoyed watching the award recipients and hearing speeches from creators of things like technology-packed exhibits at the Titanic Belfast, the massive tourist attraction about the Titanic, intricate drone shows in Geneva. That was cool. And even watch the recipients from an AR museum experience that transports you back to 1955 to experience life alongside a 15-year-old Black girl living in a racially segregated Montgomery, Alabama. Watching that video, seeing them accept the reward, that was maybe one of the highlights of the night, because I would have never heard about this exhibit otherwise, and I cannot wait to learn more about this experience, because it really putting you in the footsteps of this girl at that time in history, I think, is so resonant and so important. And I hope I one day, if they tour it around, I hope I get to experience that exhibit. The range, which I hope I'm conveying, the range of these different award winners was so vast and so different, and I loved that. But I will say, the one problem I had with the award show as a whole is that there are no stakes. Unlike the Golden Globes or the Emmys or literally every other award show on earth, there's no surprise because there's no nominees. You know, going into it, before you even park your car in Hollywood and Highland, who will win which award, which makes the event feel a little long, because it is long. It's 3 hours long. It's long. It's butt falling asleep long. It's this dress was funny when I was coming in here, and now I ate so much eggplant that I can't breathe long. But we were buoyed by one thing, that we had confirmation, real confirmation this time, that the rumor was true, that Steven Spielberg was in fact there. About 2/3 of the way through the award presentation, that rumor resurfaced. We heard on very good authority that he was backstage waiting. I got so excited. I texted my husband. I was looking around like, oh my God, I'm going to see Steven Spielberg tonight. What would he come out for? I don't know, to present an award, to win one that wasn't listed in the packet? Absolutely no clue. And as the awards kept being ticked off the list, it became clear that, oh, Steven had to be here for one thing, the big main award of the night, which was going to Chairman Su, the founder and chairman of Chimelong. Never heard of Chimelong? Me neither. But apparently this dude is like Chinese Walt Disney of modern day. His life story is also bananas. He basically began as a delivery boy and then worked his way up towards growing a company of his own. And then he had a hotel and a restaurant and then a hotel. And then he kept dreaming until he launched a drive-through safari park. And now he's a full titan of industry. The only way I can describe Chimelong is like if Roller Coaster Tycoon was real. The dude built a resort on such a massive scale that I can't even really wrap my own head around it. He has the largest amusement park in China, the most visited water park in the world, a safari park with many rare animals, apparently. I don't know what that means. An entire park for birds, literally a bird park, packed with birds. So many birds. I gotta watch YouTube videos about this. I need to know more about the birds. He's got circus venues. He's got multiple themed hotels. And even the latest, Chimelong Spaceship, is the world's largest indoor theme park. And it opened just last year. Oh yeah, there's a functioning theme park spaceship somewhere in the world. Just kidding, I'm not being petty. It's actually like a marine science park, but it looks like a spaceship from the outside. It's beautiful, it's gigantic. And then it's kind of this like aquarium themed experience kind of theme park on the inside. But yeah, it is the world's biggest indoor theme park because this resort is huge and this dude's legacy is wild. But we watch an intro video for this guy, hear about his massive accomplishments, are really blown away by him. Holy cow, we see him come on stage. He gives a wonderful acceptance speech. And then the night ends. No Steven. No Steven. I can't believe it. Was he even there? Did he dip in to like say hi to his Universal cohorts before dipping? Like, was there going to be a surprise announcement that E.T. was coming to Universal Studios Hollywood? I have no idea to this day. But that's too many rumors of one specific man being there from people Who knew there was also a lookalike there? Like, we already got through that, and then there was another rumor. So I still don't know, and it's killing me inside. I don't know if he was actually there. He had to have been there, and if he was there, why didn't anyone see him? I will let it go because it will drive me mad if I keep thinking about it. But if he was there, I may never know. I may never know. But I can just dream of what would have happened if he came out. And if maybe we just happened to miss him, I don't know. But we left being like, that was a great night. Where was Steven Spielberg? Was he actually there? Or was this just a weird game of telephone that was happening at a corporate event / award show? Either way, I had a wonderful time at the Theo Awards. I'm so glad I went. I'm so glad I can tell you about some of these experiences I learned about. And most of all, it really reinforced how global these experiences are. And it was so nice to kind of look beyond my domestic theme park bubble. I'm so focused on Disney and Universal Parks because that's what we do the most. And it was just such an honor to be there to witness people who do all sorts of other things that are in the same industry, but so vastly different and sometimes similar, but also different, be honored for their achievements. If you want to know more about TIA or you want to get involved, head to tiaconnect.org. And if you have any other questions about the THEAs, hit me up on the Churros hotline, 747-CHURROS. It was a wonderful night. I'm so honored to have been included. And maybe I'll even see them next year. We will see. But either way, thanks for listening.
Hi, Carly. I had to pause the podcast and call you immediately to defend the Davy Crockett Explorer canoes. And when you said that you had never ridden them, then I completely understood because I was in the same exact place as you. I thought, this is so weird. It's exercise. It kind of seemed boring, and I had never ridden them. And then one day I was at the park by myself, and I rode the canoes, and it was the best experience. It's probably one of my favorite rides, and here's the reason. They tell jokes. It's like Jungle Cruise, but the jokes are about you and why you chose to ride this ride, and it is hysterical. I recommend it 100 out of 10. You have to ride them at least once. It's honestly one of my favorite rides. So hope you report back. Hope you try it. Thanks so much. Bye.
Okay. To form an opinion, I should do something first and then say I don't like it instead of judging it from solid ground as other people are doing fitness on their vacations. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent again. But you have done a great service here today because I did not know there were jokes. I did not know that a cast member personality was part of this experience because, as you know, if you love a Disney theme park, you love a cast member. And I didn't know they were bringing that to the table. I thought they were there being like, yay, go team, mush, or whatever people who row or do crew or whatever that's called is. I can barely do the rower machine at the gym, so I don't even know. But I did not know there was this element to it. And that is because I am a fool. And you and I both judged it, and you went, and you did it, and you tried it, and you told me. And for that, I will do the canoes. I'll do it once. I will only do it once unless I really like it. And you're right. And it's worth it. I need to wear so much sunscreen to do this. Everyone, I walked past them the other day when I was at Disneyland with my friend Heather, who does dining in Disney. And I was just like, these people are roasting in the sun. These people are roasting in the sun. So I will load up on sunscreen. I will wear my big old straw hat. And I will do this attraction just because you told me about this tidbit. So thank you for this. Thank you for this info. I will tell y'all about it when I muster the courage to get in there and do an upper body workout after, paying admission vis-a-vis my magic key. And I'll give it a shot. I did not know there was like a Jungle Cruise element. Thank you so much for letting me know this. This is absolutely shocking to me. I will do it. I will do it once. And I also want to mention to anyone who, there's a few people who left like great churro calls in the past week and also in the past month and many months. Let's be honest, there's a lot of really, really great ones I still have to get back to. This episode had a tight turnaround because this event I went to was over the weekend. So I will be getting to those very soon. I promise it is not an empty promise. I will get to them. I will get to them and I will go on this canoe. I will do both of those things for you. But wow, there's jokes. There's silly ha-has. Okay, I'm kind of excited to do it. I mean, will I complain about how sore I am after? 100% I will. But I got to hear these jokes. I got to see these great cast members. Thank you so much for letting me know. And thank you for calling. Wow. That's our show! thank you all so much for listening. And thank you to Tia for inviting me out to the Theo Awards and letting me experience what a night of glamour and theme park recognition can look like. You can rate, review, and follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. No, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. I say this every week and I still don't have it memorized. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and you can rate and follow us on Spotify. As always, we appreciate it. We love it. We enjoy it. And we thank you. We thank you for doing so. You can also give us a call at 74CHURRUS. Wow! This week, I'm leaving this in. You all need to see me at my lowest, apparently. Even though I'm extremely caffeinated, I still can't seem to get the words out. Anyway, you can give us a call at 747CHURRUS. You can send us a voice note to 747CHURRUS, or you can email it to 747CHURRUS@gmail.com. You can also pick up Very Amusing merchandise. Let people know that you are funny and or you have great taste in podcasts at very-amusing.com. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all of the platforms that they will let you do that on. And you can join the Family at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. You can also join as a subscriber on my Instagram, which is a new-ish thing I'm doing. Essentially, I am promising that you get to see a lot more Instagram stories. If you like following my Instagram stories on a day-to-day basis, I am posting a good chunk of them there now on the subscriber end. It's like a close friends function. You get to see a little peek into maybe podcast episodes that are coming up. Subscribers got to see a little preview of what the Theas were like prior to this podcast episode over the weekend while I was there. I'm going to be doing a lot more of that while I'm in the parks. I love posting to it while I'm at Disneyland. I will be doing that when I go to Disney World next month. So just things like that are really, really fun, and I'm really enjoying it because, as I told subscribers earlier this week, it really, posting on Maine on social media comes with a lot of weight. It's not as easy these days to post things just flippantly without thinking them through, just casually, just blabbing into your phone and moving on with your day. I feel uncomfortable doing that on the Maine feed now. So I do that here, and it's a smaller group. It feels a little more intimate, a little closer, like just a group of friends hanging out, and I love it. It's 99 cents a month. So I can, as I say, I promise you'll get 99 cents worth of content. And you absolutely will. I'm posting stories all the time. And I try to post at least one a day, but usually it's like 10 one day and then one the next day. But still, there's a ton. There's a ton there. And I hope that you join. It's very fun. And if you want a little more amusing, and maybe if you were a Patreon before and we had that, this is much cheaper and gives you a ton of stuff on the regular. So I hope you join us over on Instagram. You just hit the subscribe button. I think it's on my feed. And yeah, and that's how you do that. This episode was edited spectacularly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. Okay, Pearl's birthday is tomorrow. I am so excited. I'm coming by you tomorrow. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see her. I just can't believe that precious little baby is turning one. I love her so much. All right, I'm having so much fun on your subscription. Not that I'm a helicopter mom or a stalker or anything like that. Maybe I do. I don't care. But your subscription is so good. I get to see you every day. I get to see where you are, what's happening. I have so much fun, and I learned so much of what's happening. Great info, honey, and it's only 99 cents a month. Biggest bargain ever. It's better than anything. I love it so much. All right, the snacks. Most of the snacks I have no clue about, but the turkey drumsticks, you know, are the best. I love them. I would buy a couple and bring them home for dinner. Absolutely. I know other people walk around eating the drumsticks, but I have no problem walking around eating it like a cavewoman. No problem at all. I love them. I've never tried the fried pickle, but when I go back, I'm definitely going to try one. And I would love to try some of the food you mentioned, but I'm so hungry now, so I'm going to go. Love you. Great episode. I love you so much. Happy birthday, Pearl. I love you so much. I love you too, John Stamos. Bye.